All right. Lord, help us this morning as we get into your word. Lord, this isn't about my book. It's about you, God. And I pray that you would be honored, you would be glorified, and that through this, Lord, people would be inspired, encouraged, and challenged to fulfill your purpose for their life, to develop your character in their hearts, Lord, and to serve other people well with the gifts that you've given them. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, again, so good to be with you. How did I come up with the title, Let the Scoreboard Do the Talking? Back in eighth grade, I was very advanced as a young athlete, so much so that I was able to play up into our high school local city league here in town. And so I was playing against juniors and seniors in high school. Our team had gone undefeated throughout the regular season, and we were playing in our double elimination tournament at the end of the basketball season for the City League here. We went all the way through. We were in the championship game, and in the championship game, we had a senior from Leon High School who, in the moment, wasn't really that good of a player, but thought that, okay, it's the final game, it's the championship game. Pride kind of got into his heart. He's like, I'm just going to, like, show out this game and take it over, and started taking a lot of shots that weren't in his skill set, killed our team chemistry, and we ended up getting upset by a team that we should have very easily beat. What was very difficult about it is one of my closest friends was on the other team, and he was a very small guy, and so he had never beat me in anything in sports and competition, grew up right down the road from me. And so this is before social media, internet, all that stuff. When we got back to school the next day at Raw Middle School, everybody was assuming that my team was going to win and win easily. And when they found out that we had lost, they began just giving it, this is our chance to get Ron Miller Jr. And they begin making fun of me and mocking me and just like celebrating my friend Bruce. And I had made a vow of silence after we lost that I'm not going to speak until we start the game the next day. And it was tough because they were just the whole day long, they were giving me a hard time, mocking me, you know, just making fun of me. Made it to the final game. Thank God it was a double elimination tournament, so we got another chance. And I didn't say anything till we got into the huddle. And when we got in the huddle, I looked at our point guard and I said, you get me the ball tonight. And I made sure that he was going to do that. Through it, we ended up winning the game. At the end of the game, we were up by about 25 points. I was on my way to scoring 44 points in the game. That's without the three-pointer, so put an asterisk by that. And at the end of the game, with about a minute to go, I just started showing off. And I started just mocking the other team. And just all of the, you know, all the pent-up just anger and frustration that I'd had, especially that was fueled all day long by them mocking me and making fun of me, it just came out. And I began acting like an idiot on the basketball court. So after the game, I'm coming home. We'd cut down the nets and all that, you know, and I got my net home. I'm coming home, and I'm thinking, man, my dad is going to be so proud of me because I scored all these points and we won the championship game, right? And I got home, and he met me in the garage as I was coming inside the house. And you could tell when your father is not happy. And I grew up with a dad who disciplined me, was a great dad, but you could tell when he was happy and you could tell when he was not happy. And he wasn't happy. And so I'm running up with excitement to see him. And all of a sudden I see his look and I begin to slow down and kind of go, hey, Pops, great game, huh? And he looked at me and he said, don't ever act like that again. And I was like, uh-oh, is he going to discipline me? Like, what's going to happen? In that moment, that's only about a couple seconds. It seems like, you know, the world just stops and it seems like an eternity. And he leaned up in my face and he pointed to the wall as if there was a scoreboard. And he goes, you let the scoreboard do the talking. And it became a life lesson for me. My dad led the nation in passing at Wisconsin, won the Sammy Baugh Award. If you want to Google, it's pretty cool to see that. It's the list of really the greatest quarterbacks who've ever played football. And in 1961, my dad's on that list. And so he was a great hero of mine, especially as a young kid who loved sports. And I got to watch his life in regards to a man who accomplished a lot like that. A lot of times that leads to pride. But my dad was a very humble man, and a lot of people never even knew he played professional football by the way he conducted himself. So when he said those words to me, it wasn't just something he was saying as a father trying to help his son out a little bit. It was something that he lived and he modeled in his life. And it made a huge, huge impression on me that, and I couldn't articulate it this way at the time, but that God had given me some gifts and abilities. And with those gifts and abilities, I wasn't just to use it for my own selfish gain, but there was a way that I was to conduct myself around elders, around peers, around people I competed against, and in social settings where, because of the gifts and abilities that God had given to me, with that, it gives you favor and leadership opportunities. And with that, there was a sense of responsibility with that. That you're to act a certain way, and you're to engage people a certain way, and you're to respond to people a certain way as they're wanting to talk to you or wanting to get to know you or compliment you. And so as a very young kid, I began to learn that, you know, there's a certain way I'm supposed to act. And so that is where I got the title from, Let the Scoreboard Do the Talking. It's important that we develop God's character. It's important that we have God's perspective in life. You know, we live today, and it's not much different. A lot of the scriptures I'll use today, I'm going to quote one from Jesus, and then the other ones will be from Apostle Paul, specifically writing to the church at Corinth, and then one writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. But America is so similar to the church of Corinth in that we live in a society today that tends to value accomplishments. It values wealth. It values more the things you do than the person you are becoming. So be whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do as long as it makes you happy, as long as it brings you wealth, and as long as it brings you what you think is your fulfillment and pleasure in life. And so the city of Corinth was no different than that. It was, like America, it was a very athletic city. It had what was called the Isthmian Games, which was only second to the Olympics at that time. So that's why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and so many of his epistles, he used athletic or sports metaphors and analogies because the culture, like America, was obsessed with sports. You know, I think sports in America today has grown to, it's idolatrous, the way we idol, we just, the coaches, the players, the amount of money, the amount of time, our affections that we put into sports, and those we tend to call heroes in that sphere of influence, it's such idolatry. They had the same thing going on in Corinth. Like our society today, it was a mix of people, very stratified. You had very rich people to very poor people, a lot of different cultures, a lot of different religions, a lot of different philosophies on how to live life. A lot like America today. And so through it all, people thought, you know, well, if I accomplish things and accumulate wealth, that'll kind of solve all my problems in life. I'll really be someone. And so relatable and kind of what we have to, especially I feel for this, that you as a younger generation, because every day you've got so much information coming to you through social media and TikTok and all that stuff that is so contrary to what Jesus says is important and valuable in what it is that we should live for. Jesus asked a very important question in Luke 9:25. He said, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? You know, we live in a world today where people are over and over and over again forfeiting their soul, forfeiting their self by trying to gain the things of this world. I had a book influencer reach out to me on Instagram, and he wanted to promote my book, and so ended up doing an interview with him and ended up, you know, deciding to do that with him. And he, as he was beginning to kind of promote it on social media, he would take quotes or statements from my book and put it out there and then, you know, ask the questions, how you can ask the questions on your story. You know, do you agree with this, disagree, or got to think more about it? Well, one of the quotes or statements he took out of my book, that who you are is more important than what you accomplish. And he did a poll on that. Do you agree with this? And I was surprised to see that there was at least 40% of people that responded to that, that believed that, no, what you accomplish is more important than who it is that you are becoming. And so we live in that reality today. Again, as long as you're wealthy, as long as you're accomplishing what the world thinks is success, and as long as you feel good about it, the world will tell you that that's how you should be living, and that's what it is you should be doing. Jesus said, what good is it to gain all those things and yet forfeit your soul? And so what does it mean to let the scoreboard do the talking, okay? For me, as a young kid, it was just a simple lesson that, man, there's a way I'm to act when I do well on the basketball court, right? But as I began to think more and more about that in today's world and the significance of what that statement means, I define it in the book as these three things. It means to fulfill God's purpose for your life. It means to develop his character. And it means to serve other people well with the gifts that you've been giving, okay? And I think that really sums up everything that Jesus was trying to produce in his people when he was here on planet Earth. Align them, save them, align them, get them right to fulfill God's purpose. Everything that he was taking them through was to develop more of his character inside of them, and then out of that, get them to think beyond themselves to use what it is that God had given them to serve other people well. We know how to keep score in life, right, of games that we might play. Some of you all might be into board games or card games, or some of you, if you're in the athletics, you know how to keep score of the game. The scoreboard reveals to you. It's a message that is being communicated of what is happening in the game. So we know how to keep score in games that ultimately don't really matter in the realm of eternity. But how do we keep score of the most important game we're playing, which is the game of life that God has given us? And so over time, I just realized, you know, most people aren't even thinking about that. They're not even thinking about the life they're living. They're not even examining themselves or grading themselves. And so I created in the book a scoreboard for you to be able to evaluate your life and score yourself to see if you're living in victory or living in defeat in accordance to fulfilling God's purpose, developing his character in your life, and serving other people well. So each chapter ends with an examination, it ends with an application, and then you score yourself on what I put in the book, 8 keys to victory. 8 keys to victory. One of my favorite times before a game was when the coach in pregame locker room, he'd give us the speech, and then on the board, there would always be these keys to victory. This is what we had to do. The more we would adhere to these keys to victory, the better chance we had to win in the game. So in basketball, it was like, don't let the best shooter shoot wide open shots. You got to get rebounds. Whoever controls rebounds in a basketball game usually will win. So these were all keys to victory. And so what I created was 8 keys to victory that help us be able to determine whether or not we are fulfilling God's purpose, we're developing Christ-like character, and we're serving other people well. And their keys to victory, the subtitle, is when life tries to defeat you. How many people know every day life is trying to defeat you? Have you discovered yet that life is difficult and challenging? And so there's different keys to victory. There's faith, and the 8 that I chose were faith and preparation and perseverance and overcome fear. How about that one? We've dealt with that so much over the last 3 years. And service and thankfulness and forgiveness. And so with that, there's a story for each. There's my biblical teachings from the last 30 years of preaching. There's an examination, an application. There's a big idea to remember in the chapter. And then there's a way you score yourself. And at the end of the book, you take all the scores from those 8 keys of victory in each chapter, and you score, you can get your final score. And then I've got a little grid there that determines whether or not you're living in victory. It's important that we keep score, right? Keeping score matters, because if you're not keeping score, you're not serious about what it is you're doing. When I was a little kid, we used to show up at the playground and we'd all be ready to play, and we'd be just kind of joking around, making fun of each other, just doing whatever, was throwing the frisbee, throwing the football, throwing the baseball, whatever, just kind of goofing around. But then when enough people showed up, we would do something. We'd play rock, paper, and scissors, to determine the 2 team captains. We'd pick teams, and then we'd start competing and keeping score. And as soon as we began keeping score and playing, everything changed. The environment changed from silliness to just having fun to now it's competition. Why? Because it matters, because now we're keeping score, okay? And so if you're serious about your walk with God, you better be keeping score on how you're living your life. And I just realized a lot of Christians, a lot of people don't do this. And so I created a scoreboard. If you're serious about fulfilling God's purpose, developing Christ-like character, and serving other people well, for you to be able to score yourself. And in that, to help you, because I'm such a nice guy, I gave you keys to victory. John Maxwell said this: the only way to truly know your progress is to keep score. Okay? So it's very important. How do we keep score if we don't know what we are evaluating or what it is we're playing, or if there's not a scoreboard to even be able to do that? All right? Another great quote here. I think the next one is, it's 1 Corinthians chapter, verse 9, chapter 9, verses 24 through 25. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Again, I gave you kind of a background of the church or the city of Corinth and what that was like. And so this culture obsessed with sports and watching the amount of money and time and effort that went into winning a prize that'll perish. Paul said, what if we took the money and the time and the effort and channeled our hearts and our desires into a prize that matters for all of eternity? And so I bring that to the forefront constantly in my book, of trying to wake up our society and go, we're playing, we're investing in, we're putting all of our hearts and affections into prizes that don't matter. We need to turn our hearts to a prize that does matter. And that prize is won by fulfilling God's purpose, by developing his character, and by serving other people well. Next slide on the board, please. Rick Warren said this, that your worth is determined by your not by your achievements, but by the unique person that God has created you to be. So true. Great statement there. And again, something that I try to bring to light in the book is just a reminder, as I've talked about, that our motives are more important. Our motives are more important than our accomplishments in life. Think about it again. To the church at Corinth, where now these people who they're getting saved, they're going into the church, they're new believers, and man, I mean, Paul had to write to them. They didn't know how to take communion correctly. They thought, you know, okay, I can have this certain kind of knowledge, or man, maybe I've got a spiritual gift that I'd really want to use in such a way that people more see, you know, that I'm able to use this gift versus really ministering to other people and edifying and building other people up with it. And so he writes to them as a reminder that, look, in everything that you're doing, man, you can have faith that moves mountains. You can speak in tongues and do all of these things. You can give your life over and sacrifice and be a martyr and do all this. But if love is not the driving motive, it means nothing. Motives are more important than our achievements. He said, if you give all you have in possession to the poor, give your body over to hardship, that you may boast, but do not have love, what? You gain nothing. And so to Jesus, your motives matter. Your motives matter more than your accomplishments. Again, trying to bring this to light in a world that where so many people think that my value is determined by what it is I accomplish in life. John Maxwell said, your life scoreboard is more than your sum of accomplishments. It's the impact you have on others. And so every day people are reading your life. What is it that it's communicating to others? What is your scoreboard speaking to other people? Last scripture here, I think it's the last scripture. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. He said, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has the value for all things, holding promise for both this present life and the life to come. And so, again, I just think about all of the time and the effort and the things that we prioritize in our life today that we think is so important. And most of those things are only dealing with our flesh. You know, I mean, I'm a guy, I want to be in the best shape I can be in. I want to live the best quality life I can live and all that. But it's in the context of knowing that there's an eternity. And in that eternity, God wants us to live for things that ultimately really matter. So physical training, those things, they have value. But man, what values the most is that are we living and developing Christ likeness in our lives and using that to lead other people to him. And so the book's just a constant reminder of that. Let the scoreboard do the talking. It means to fulfill God's purpose. It means to develop his character in your life. And it means to use what it is that God's given you to serve other people well. And so I want to encourage you, and again, just thank you for being here and participating in this. I'm going to be at the table after the service. If you have a book and you would like me to sign it, that would be great. Today, the world has so changed in the way things are done. I went through selfpublishing.com, and there was a very traditional way to publish a book, and there's new ways to publish a book today. I chose to go with selfpublishing.com because I get the credit as a self-publisher, but they help do all the behind-the-scenes work. In traditional publishing, a lot of the, mostly who gets the rights to the book and the benefits of the book is the publishing company. Well, when you self-publish, that is different. You maintain the rights and you get to benefit more from it than the publishing company. And so the reason I said all that is that what my goal in writing the book was, one, to glorify God. Two, was for people to read it. Yeah, I want people to read it. And it's been encouraging to know, and I wanted not just people in the church to read it, but why I did the title, I did it that way and all that is because I wanted people who aren't in the church to read it. And I wrote it in such a way that if you're not in church, you can read it and you can get something out of it. And so that's what God put on my heart. And do it in such a way that would show people outside of the church that Scripture can be very applicable to your life. And this is how Bible characters were learning or going through what are eternal keys to victories in life. This is how Abraham was having to persevere, right? This is how Noah was having to prepare, right? This is how David and others overcame fear to fulfill what it is that God had them to do in their time here on earth. And so in doing that, why I said all that is what's really important in today's world for getting the message out. How many people know that we need to get the Christian message out? Yes. And do you think we're competing against other messages today? Absolutely. More than ever. I mean, think about before social media and all that, Paul told Timothy that many will find people to say whatever it is they want to hear to satisfy their itching ears so that they can live contrary to what it is Scripture says is truth, right? I mean, that's before all the competing voices of how many now? 1,000 channels of TV and all of the information that comes through our different devices, iPad, iPhones, so forth and so on. So how much more challenging today is it to find the right message and to find the truth? And so with that, it's important that we get our message out to people, that we meet them right where they're at, and that we get them to stop and think about what life really matters. Dr. Du, Pastor Kim, he wrote 2 great books on apologetics, and man, those books are like unbelievable. Some of the best ever you will read on, if you are a Christian, how to be strong and confident in defending the faith. And it also is very good if you've got questions to debunk a lot of arguments against the Christian faith. But man, it's that's why, man, when we did his book, I'm like, this message has got to get out there because there's so many lies told about Christianity. So many people believing things that are false. And so appreciate that he did that. But we have a responsibility, I feel now, is to help get the message out. Help get the message out. Help promote things that are going to, messages that are going to turn people to the truth of who God is. So the way that is done today is the world is changing is most of the world goes through in their searches and stuff like that, Google, Amazon. And so with that, it's important that, as Abby said, just to explain everything, that you go on and that you purchase it on Amazon, and that you get a verified purchase and you review it. Because that then, when people are searching, wake up one day and go, I want to know what truth is. The more reviews you have, guess what? Amazon says, well, here's something that talks about truth. You know? And I guarantee you can find books, I mean, that you can read. And I mean, I feel like I'm a decently intelligent guy. I don't even know what they're talking about. Claiming to know truth. And then you listen to an interview, you know, on them from about their book, and they don't even know what they're talking about. You know, when questions are asked about truth and life and meaning and purpose, and it's just all over the place, and it's bizarre, right? But man, they've got 12,000 reviews, you know. Well, those things get promoted, and so so anyhow, just things that I've learned along the way. So with all that, if you could get it on Amazon, verify, purchase, and review it, That would be great. The initial goal was 100 reviews. I'm at 74 five-star reviews right now. So when you get to 100, it kind of puts you in a different level of getting it out there in the world. So your help is greatly appreciated in that. I'm going to have a few here over the next 3 weeks that will be selling also, but that is the best way to get it. And please make sure you have a review. And also, go to Pastor Ken's. His is on Amazon too. We did a series in his. Y'all didn't review it. We got to review it, okay? So let's make sure that we review that one also, okay? Let's get these messages out there. All right, let the scoreboard do the talking. It means three things. It means to fulfill God's purpose. It means to develop his character in your life. And it means to serve others well with the gifts and talents that you've been given. Pastor Ken, next week, is going to be talking on one of the keys to victory, which is perseverance, right? Perseverance. How many people would like to have perseverance? How many people want it? Guess what? To get it, you got to go through very difficult things. That's the only way to get it. And so in that, as you're going through difficult things, how do you find God's purpose? How do you still allow his character to be developed? And how do you, in the midst of that, instead of just thinking about how bad this situation is you're going through, how do, in the midst of it, shine a light to still serve other people in that moment? So, Father, help us today. We love you. We thank you for who you are and all that you're doing in our lives. And, Lord, I pray that over the next month, as we are concluding a semester, that this series would encourage people, it would inspire people, it would motivate people to just love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, and live in such a way that the scoreboard of our life would do the talking. And what it would say is that we're living to fulfill God's purpose. We're living to develop your character in our lives. And we're living to serve other people well with the gifts and talents that you've been given, that you have given us. So, Lord, we thank you so much for that. And we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord. Prayer team, you can come forward if...